So it's interesting, obviously the issue of node positivity. I just interviewed Dan Hayes for this same series. And of course, I think he authored, he was part of the ASCO guidelines that said, don't do it in node positive. And I was saying, well, that's all well and good that you all said that. But when I ask investigators, they're like all doing it for one or two or three nodes like this patient. So it is kind of interesting. Again, it's something we've talked about the last couple of years. Any thoughts, though, in terms of using it in a node positive situation? Obviously, we're waiting for the randomized data such as the R-Xponder trial. But also, I was curious whether the TAILORx data in node negative patients affected in any way the way you approach node positive. I kind of have been hearing people say that. So, for example, until TAILORx, I never really heard anybody talk much about menopausal status and Oncotype, a little bit about age, but not much. Now, if this lady, she's 58, if she had been 40, would you have made the same decision?
Yeah, so a lot there to unpack. So in terms of node positive, we have retrospective data from the Kathy Albane-Swag study in postmenopausal patients suggesting that Oncotype performs very similarly in node positive as it does in node negative, which is not at all surprising. It's not like the tumor biology is different if it manages to travel up to the lymph node. We also actually have data from the West German Plan B study, which is a prospective study in which patients with high-risk node-negative and node-positive disease with low Oncotypes, 11 and less, were not treated with chemotherapy and did extremely well. So similar to the TAILORx and R-Xponder's designs. And I think that that also supports this consistency that tumor biology is the same independent of stage. We now have NCCN guidelines that incorporate consideration of genomic profiling for node-positive disease, acknowledging that of all the available genomic predictors, they all seem to be helpful in terms of prognostic information, and that Oncotype is the predictor that we have the best predictive information in the node-positive population. But we're still waiting for R-Xponder to have definitive prospective information regarding benefit or not from chemotherapy. In our practice, we pretty routinely send Oncotype for node-positive patients and use that to guide our decision-making.
When you say node positive, though, how many nodes?
I think in the 1 to 3 range, corresponding more closely with the published data, patients with 10 positive nodes are not really getting Oncotype sent.
And they weren't in the R-Xponder trial. And it's really funny because you and I must think alike, because I hadn't read the bottom of your write-up. You brought up the exact thing I was about to ask you, which was, A, she's premenopausal. Okay, so let me just kind of run you through what you actually have down here, which is, okay, so first, she's got Oncotype of 12, but she's premenopausal. Still going to give her hormones?
Oncotype 12, premenopausal. We're doing endocrine therapy. We're not using chemotherapy.